Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of the Ponycast. Today we are joined by Dr. Sarah from Camden Equine Centre to talk about laminitis. Dr. Sarah's article in our latest issue of the Pony News was so popular that we thought we'd needed to chat to her further about the subject. Hi and welcome, Dr. Sarah. Thanks for joining us. We are so lucky to have you here with us today. Can you please tell us a little bit about yourself and your time with Camden Equine Centre?
Sure. So as Renee has introduced me, thank you. My name is Dr. Sarah Biazuri, and I am a specialist equine surgeon and also ambulatory vet. So I work on the road here at Camden Equine Centre. I graduated from the University of Sydney in 2007. And then for 4 years, I worked in the central west of New South Wales, so Dubbo and Orange, where I developed my interest in horse medicine and surgery. And then after those 4 years in 2012, I joined the Equine Centre here in Camden as an intern, which meant that I started my very early specialist training here and then moved on to my residency in surgery. So I've been here for 11 years now, pretty much rusted on, and really love working with the local community here, as well as with our students here at the Teaching Hospital and all our lovely clients and their horses.
That's amazing. So we're going to get into it and figure out what laminitis is all about and what we can do to prevent it in our horses. Dr. Sarah, foot care is so important in the horse industry and it plays a massive part in our horses' well-being. Can you tell us what laminitis is?
Sure. So everybody's probably heard the saying, no hoof, no horse. And laminitis is probably one of the most common diseases that affects our horses' feet. So at the very basic level, the horse's hoof is a lot like our fingernail, and the lamina of the horse is the tissue that's very much like the quick or the sensitive part of our nail. So in laminitis, that sensitive part becomes inflamed, and that inflammation can cause swelling and eventually tearing of those tissues, which is an incredibly painful event for the horse. And the other reason that this is so important is, unlike our fingernails, horses stand on their hooves. So there's a lot of weight, anywhere up to, in some horses, 700 kilos or more, that's pressing down on those soft tissues. When those tissues are inflamed, they can't do their job properly. And the main job is to hold the hoof to the underlying bone. And when that connection starts to be lost, that results in really severe lameness and pain, and in some horses can even be fatal. So laminitis, which is also known as founder, is a very common condition, and in the general situation it's usually quite mild and can be managed, but it definitely can progress to a much more severe condition, and in some cases is a reason that unfortunately we have to put horses to sleep. So it's a really important thing to know about as a horse owner, and a really important thing to be aware of, because early cases can usually be managed in a fairly straightforward fashion, but more advanced cases can be life-threatening.
Wow, that's really interesting. So would you say that the lamina is kind of like the Velcro that holds the...
Yeah. Exactly. So when I'm talking to clients about the lamina, that's exactly what I say. I say it's like Velcro, because it actually is two tissues together that have little hooks into each other. And so when laminitis develops, that Velcro starts to slowly pull apart, and that's where we have some really serious issues developing.
Wow, that's really interesting. So how does, what does the disease actually do, Dr. Sarah?
Sure. So when those tissues become inflamed, those sensitive tissues in the hoof start to swell. And once that swelling commences, we start to see more and more damage being done to the hoof. And so what this means is that first it creates pain, and then it creates disconnection of the bone to the hoof itself. And what that can look like is that can look like lameness and stiffness. It can also look like a change in the growth of the hoof. So you might notice that ridges or rings develop on the hoof wall of the horse. And then as the disease progresses, the hoof starts to look more like a little slipper. We've probably seen all of these pictures of little ponies that are badly affected and have been neglected, and they have these long slipper feet. And so that's laminitis that's causing that, because the connection of the hoof to the underlying bone is lost. In terms of other things that it does, it can remove that connection between the hoof and the underlying bone, and that can allow bacteria and dirt to track up inside the hoof. So it can cause foot abscesses and things like seedy toe. And then in really, really severe cases, it can even cause complete disconnection of the hoof from the underlying tissues. And in that situation, the bone of the hoof can actually fall through the bottom of the horse's sole, which is a very serious complication, or in its most extreme form, we can actually see horses physically step out of their hooves and to have the extent where they're basically left just walking on the soft tissues of the hoof, which is a devastating thing to see and usually means that that horse has to be put to sleep. So the disease has a lot of different effects. And again, it creates a wide spectrum of signs from not so bad to really very severe. So it's important to be aware of the signs that tell us that laminitis might be a problem.
And what signs do we need to look out for?
Sure. So probably the earliest thing to look out for is stiffness and a reluctance of your horse to move. So this might look like the horse is uncomfortable even when standing still. They might shift their weight from side to side. And if you have a feel of their feet, you might notice that the hooves are becoming very hot. And that's the inflammation in its early stages. If you know how to feel for the pulse in your horse's foot, which you feel for at the sides of the fetlock, you might also notice that the pulse is very, very strong. And those are often the earliest signs. Really low-level cases might only present as changes in the outside of the hoof. So again, you might see these ridges or rings. So similarly, again, to our own fingernails, if our nutrition is not good or if we've had an injury to them, you might notice that your fingernail becomes lumpy and bumpy. So that might be something that alerts you that your horse either has a little bit of laminitis now or may get it in the future. And x-rays at that stage can also tell us that we have a low-grade case of laminitis. As the disease progresses, you might notice that the horse doesn't want to walk at all and is very reluctant to pick up one foot to put all their weight on the other side. And then you might also see the horse start to lie down more and more because they don't want to be on their feet. It hurts them a lot. Really severe cases, you might see sweating, and sometimes it can even be mistaken for colic because the horse is just lying down in a lot of pain. It looks very, very uncomfortable. And once we get to that really severe end of the spectrum, you might also see fluid start to come from the coronet bands. We hope that none of our listeners today ever see a horse that is in that severe of a state, but it is something that can occur, and it's important to be vigilant for all of those signs.
Yeah, we definitely hope that. And so as a vet, how do you diagnose laminitis?
Sure. So a lot of cases we diagnose based on what we call the clinical presentation or symptoms. So if a client calls me and they say, hi, my pony or horse is stiff, they don't want to walk, they are sort of reluctant to pick up their feet, straight away over the phone, I'm getting a sense that this might be laminitis. And a lot of the time, if we attend to the horse and we find those things that I talked about, so heat in the feet, bounding or increased digital pulses, a reluctance to move or to lift the foot, at that stage, we often give what we call a presumptive diagnosis of laminitis. And we'll often follow that up with x-rays because we can see particular changes on the x-rays in the hoof wall and the position of the pedal bone that can tell us how bad the condition is. And once we see those signs in combination with the x-rays, we usually have a really good diagnosis. And we also then take into account how the horse responds to treatment, which is usually pain relief and also management of the diet and the foot itself.
So what are some of the causes in laminitis in horses?
Sure. There is a long list. So this is very variable depending on the individual horse. So by far the most common cause of laminitis is what we call pasture-associated laminitis. So everyone who owns a horse, or particularly little fat ponies, is probably very familiar with the idea that we shouldn't allow them to graze on lush green grass. And that's because particularly in springtime, those lush grasses have a lot of sugar. And the intake of lots of those sugars in combination with the horse's genetics often results in changes in hormones that make the feet much more prone to inflammation. And so that's probably by far the most common. We can also see it as a result of genetic conditions. So some horses are more prone to it than others. So horses, for instance, that are what we call easy keepers or good doers. So if you've got a horse that keeps weight on the smell of an oily rag, so to speak, sometimes those horses have what we call equine metabolic syndrome, which is a change in the hormone profile that makes them more prone to put on fat, but makes them also more prone to having incidences of laminitis. And those horses are typically very cresty, very big round horses that sometimes we see the little dimples on, almost like cellulite. That's when we have an inkling that a hormonal cause for laminitis might be the main problem. As we move into the more severe forms of laminitis, then we think about laminitis that is associated with certain diseases. So if your horse gets a really bad infection or needs to have surgery for a really severe injury, sometimes we see laminitis occurring as a result of that. And that is typically occurring with things like mares that retain their placenta at birth, or horses that get really severe cases of pneumonia or diarrhea. And in that case, that's due to the body's interaction with the toxins that are produced by bacteria. So that's often very severe, and we need to keep that in mind when, as vets, we're treating those horses for those conditions. And probably one of the final sort of more common causes of laminitis is if your horse has a really bad leg injury, or even something like a bad foot abscess in one foot that means that they can't use that leg properly, the foot that's holding all the weight is then much more prone to becoming inflamed. So just like us, if we had to stand only on one leg for a long period of time, we'd get a bit of a sore foot. Horses can actually get laminitis from that changing weight, and we call that contralateral or weight-bearing laminitis. And in some cases, unfortunately, we don't know the cause. It can just pop up out of the blue in horses with no history of it, and we never get to the bottom of why it's been the case. So again, because sometimes the cause is not clear, sometimes we just need to be vigilant for the signs and make sure that we intervene and get vet attention where necessary.
That's amazing to realise that it's not just the fatties that are getting the laminitis, that we've also got to have a look out if our horse has been injured or knocked its leg or, you know, pulled a tendon or something like that. It's also...
For sure. And when we think about that kind of laminitis, it does need to be a fairly severe injury. So it is one that usually transfers all the weight, but I've certainly had it occur after even really bad foot abscesses. So we think of a foot abscess as something that's not really all that important, but if it transfers all the horse's weight onto the other side for a significant period of time, we might get problems with founder in the opposite foot.
Yeah. So how do we treat laminitis?
So again, this is a really broad, really broad question, and it relates again to what the individual cause is. And so probably when we think about the most common form, which is our fat ponies on pasture, the most important way to treat them is to manage their exposure to green grasses and to really high sugar foods. So we want to make sure with these horses that if we know that they're a fat pony type, that we take them off pasture and limit their access, and we try and maintain their body weight at a nice normal level. So when we think about maintaining horses' body weights, the important things where we're thinking about laminitis are to make sure that they're not too cresty, to make sure that they're not physically looking really fat, and to make sure that when we feel for their ribs, we can feel them easily but not see them. And that puts them in a good body condition score, which reduces our risk and acts as a treatment in a lot of cases. So if we do have a horse with laminitis, weight loss is often first on our list. Once we're actually dealing with active inflammation, there's a couple of different things we can do. Definitely anti-inflammatory treatments. So a lot of our listeners are probably familiar with Bute and other drugs like it. That's one of the things that we can do to relieve pain, which is really important for getting the horse comfortable. And then we can also think about managing the feet. So making sure that they have somewhere nice and soft to stand. A nice sand pit is the best, or deep sawdust. If that's not a possibility, then thinking about putting the horse in padded shoes or temporary pads until the condition resolves is also really important. And in combination with that, the other thing that's been shown to make a lot of difference in terms of the progression of the disease is actually icing or cooling the feet. This is something that unfortunately is easier said than done, because in the ideal circumstance, they're standing in ice baths basically 24 hours a day, which a lot of our clients and our listeners obviously can't do, just due to the fact that we have lives and other things that need to be managed. But even some cooling of the feet might be helpful and can temporarily relieve pain for the horse. So similar for us, if we have really sore feet, soaking them in a nice cool bath might be something that helps. Once we start getting to much more advanced cases, then those horses often need hospitalisation and very, very intense pain therapy, as well as the icing and the anti-inflammatories that we already discussed. And some really extreme cases can be managed with things like special slings to take the weight off. And sometimes horses are even anaesthetised to get them to lie down for a while to try and get them to take the weight off their feet. But once we progress to those really severe intensive cases, the outlook is often very, very poor. For horses that have progressed to what we call the chronic stage of laminitis, so if they've gotten over the initial phase, but they've developed the problem as a long-term one. So regardless of what we do, the horse is constantly having low-grade flares of the condition, then treatment options will very much depend on the individual horse. But again, appropriate trimming, shoeing, and management with your vet and farrier in partnership is going to be super important for sorting that out. And then in really extreme chronic cases, there is a surgery that can be done to cut the tendon at the back of the leg that attaches to the lowest bone in the foot, the pedal bone, to try and take some pressure off that area. But that is very rarely done. It's what we call a salvage procedure, and it's basically only done to save the life of the horse. And it usually means that they can't be used for ridden pursuits or anything athletic in future. It's literally to make them comfortable in the paddock. So it's a really long list of treatments, and it's never something that we would expect our clients or listeners to do by themselves. That's why we're here as vets, and successful management of laminitis often relies on really close communication between vets, clients, and farriers. And so I'd encourage anyone that's listening that's concerned about something like laminitis, or maybe has a chronic laminitic horse at home, to actively reach out to your vet, tell them what's going on, and then see if there's anything additional that can be added to the treatment, because every case is very individual. And one horse might respond to one thing while another horse doesn't. And it's often a matter of a little bit of trial and error. So trying out what's going to work for your individual horse. And that's a process that may take some time and patience and unfortunately some financial expenditure. Yeah. Often a lot of these cases of laminitis can be successfully managed with time and that appropriate communication and treatment.
That's awesome. So besides the little fat ponies, what kind of other horses are at risk of laminitis?
That's a really good question. So definitely little fat ponies are kind of the classic laminitis candidate. But as I briefly touched on before, also bigger horses that are really cresty and have that real kind of fat good doer look to them are also at risk. Some particular breed types are also predisposed. So often, for instance, thoroughbreds have really flat soles and may have quite fragile feet, and that makes them a lot more prone to inflammation in that site. And basically, as we discussed previously, any horse with any kind of illness or injury, or any horse that needs surgery, might be at slightly increased risk because of the stress and everything that's involved. But pretty much, I almost always say that any horse can be affected by laminitis. And I've seen little fat ponies that never have a hint of it in their lifetime. And I've seen skinny, bigger horses that are affected by it for no apparent reason. So it's really important, again, just to really watch out for those signs and manage each horse as an individual, because they're just like us. No two are the same.
Is there a particular time of year that laminitis is more prone in our ponies and horses, or is it something that we watch out for all year round?
So typically springtime is when we classically think about the flush of laminitis cases. And with all the rain that we've been having, we have been seeing more problems with it this year. And that's because it's related to the sugars in the grasses for horses that are genetically more predisposed. So yes, I would say springtime, but because our climate and the environment has been so variable over the past year, we have had it pop up in the middle of summer and the middle of winter for no apparent reason. I think it's just really dependent on the individual conditions of the horse.
And as a horse owner, how can we personally manage laminitis closely?
Yeah, for sure. So I guess the important thing is just getting really familiar with your horse's feet, what they feel like, what they look like, and how your horse moves. Because as the horse's owner and the person who knows them the best, you're going to be best situated to pick up those really early signs that will hopefully mean a more successful outcome for management. Have a feel, go out today, have a feel of your horse's feet, feel how warm they usually feel. See if you can find that pulse in the fetlock. And just get an idea of what that feels like so you can understand when there's a change. The next thing to think about is to try and make sure that we manage their diet carefully. So if you do know that your horse is a bit of a fatty or prone to put on a little bit of extra weight, just be quite vigilant about managing that. And if you are feeding a horse, particularly on high grain diets, which are also high in the sugars, similar to the grasses that cause the disease, we want to make sure that we're not giving too much at once. or too much in general. So if you look at your horse and think, okay, maybe they're a little bit fat, have a look at what you're feeding. If there's a lot of grain and a lot of concentrates in there, maybe think about either scaling that back or having a chat with your vet about whether that's an appropriate level of nutrition for them. And if you are in the situation where you have a horse that you know has had laminitis or currently has laminitis, really actively communicate with your vet. We're always here at the end of the phone, more than happy to talk about it. And it may be that we need to change management plans potentially on a daily basis or a weekly basis, and your vet is the best person to discuss that with. We definitely don't want our clients or listeners to do it alone, because it can be a hard thing. And it may not be working out for you, or it may be working brilliantly, but your vet's going to be the most important port of call to help you manage that. Prevention is definitely the key thing in management. And again, speak to your vet if you're concerned about individual factors in your property, if you have really lush pastures, if your horses are high performance and need that high grain diet, just reach out to your vet and have a chat and say, hey, what do you think? Is there anything I can do differently? And then if you are in the unfortunate situation where laminitis develops, give us a call, get us out to have a look, and then come up with a plan together to manage that as optimally as possible.
Perfect. You answered my last question. So Dr. Sara, thank you for your time today, and thank you for educating our members about laminitis. And we hope that the information can help them recognize and manage this disease much easier.
No problems. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast, and I look forward to hearing everyone's success stories.
Thank you, Dr. Sara.
Thank you.